I would invite you to turn to Ezekiel, chapter 36. It's after Jeremiah. Ezekiel chapter 36. We will read beginning in verse 24 through verse 28. As we think about a new heart here in our journey toward Easter, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Many of us would agree that a lot of the difficulties in the world today are a heart problem. Some of them physical difficulties that are heart problems, but many, many of the other difficulties within the world can be traced back to a problem of the heart. Not just the physical heart, but the spiritual and emotional heart as well. We see the cruelties of others, and not just countries, but the cruelties of individuals toward each other. We look at people who have physical heart difficulties, and we feel for them, and we wonder sometimes how they can continue to go on, and yet we oftentimes overlook the other heart problems that we have, not those that are physical, but those that are emotional and spiritual, that sometimes drain us even more and affect us even more than physical heart ailments. Unfortunately, some of you have experienced the physical heart ailments where you needed some kind of repair. And fortunately, if you are here with us, those repairs were successful. Sometimes they come in the form of angioplasty, sometimes in the form of stents to relieve that crushing pain and that lack of proper blood flow, which allows you to once again do things that you couldn't when there were those restrictions within your own arteries and in your own heart. Some because of heart attacks which have been debilitating and nearly taken your lives, and yet there were procedures that could be done to give you maybe not a completely new heart, but a newness within your heart that you didn't experience before. Others that we know of even get heart transplants, which allow them once again to be able to function and to function well. And so we do know of those things that give us a sense of new life and newness, sometimes newness of purpose with physical heart repairs. But even then, sometimes we need those other emotional and spiritual heart repairs that open our hearts to even more possibilities. Possibilities of living fruitful lives, but we also must admit possibilities of experiencing a different kind of pain within our lives. As we see some of the cruelties that others, countries and individuals, perpetrate upon each other, or maybe perhaps sometimes as we see the coldness that people have toward those who are hurting, or even toward some of their own family members. That's why I went ahead earlier today to remind us that we are family. And even though sometimes that brings heart hurt, there are ways for us to overcome the heart hurt with God's help and the help of others of goodwill. Sometimes we hear preachers stand up and say, you just need to get your heart right with God and accept Christ, and then everything will be fine. And for a while that seems to be, but then again, our humanness takes over. And we find that everything's not always fine, but we do have someone who can help us through. I think that this is a little backward, though, this saying where preachers say, get your heart right with God and accept Christ, because, quite frankly, our hearts really can't be right with God, not as they should be, until we accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Notice I didn't just say Savior. A lot of folks come down the aisle accepting Christ as Savior, and we kind of forget the Lord part. But Ezekiel reminds us that when God gives a new heart, and we'll revisit this a little bit later, when God gives us a new heart, it is also not just a heart of redemption, but is a heart of obedience to the Lordship of God. And so I think sometimes we do get that backwards. Get your heart right with God and accept Christ. We need to accept Christ and the challenges that Christ gives us before our hearts can really be right with God. We also teach that you must get a clean heart. I imagine if I started a verse, most of you in here could finish it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's right. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a request that the scripture writer gives, and that we oftentimes quote, or we hear quoted. The clean heart, a right spirit. Far too often we're willing to accept the clean heart, but it's not so much the right spirit that we want to deal with. We push that off to the side and say, we'll hold off later. But notice it's the right spirit within me, and our passage today from Ezekiel talks about not only a new heart, but God putting a right spirit within us. And we do need cleaning. So come to Jesus, and everything will be all right. Right? Well, yes and no, as we've already said. Because we continue to be human and prone to human frailty and failures. So what does it mean, though, when we come to God, when we come to Jesus, and we get a new heart from God? And what does Ezekiel have to say to us, we who are Christians, about our hearts, even as we approach Easter? Well, in the passage today, Yahweh has been repulsed by the way Israel has acted. We didn't read earlier, but earlier in the text, earlier in this chapter, God has been repulsed by the way Israel had been living, or better yet, by the way they had not been living. They had not been living after the precepts that they should have, the precepts that would guarantee and guide them as children of God, as part of God's family. Too often they simply said, okay, well, we're children of Abraham, and God promised Abraham's descendants, and so it doesn't matter what we do, we're still a child of God. Forgetting that that brings with it certain responsibilities. And while there had been exile for them, and there would be exile again in the future, more repercussions for sin, God has still been merciful in not giving the full measure of His wrath and rejection. He continues to accept them, and even says here, I will give you, there is a time where I will give you a new heart. Rather than Israel upholding God's name, if we read earlier in the chapter, we will find that they have actually dishonored God. And I come once again to a quote from one of my professors in seminary, Dr. Richard Spencer. And actually it was in a class on the letter to the Hebrews, and talking about what it meant to live after the order of Melchizedek, the high priest, and after the order of Jesus, the high priest. And y'all have heard this before, sorry. I'll continue to say it. Rather than honoring God, they dishonored God. And Dr. Spencer said in that class, the way we fail to take the Lord's name the proper way, and the way that we tend to take it in vain the most, is to claim to be Christians or children of God and then not live like it. Once again, we can't make our hearts right with God until we have accepted both the redemption and the lordship of Christ. And their hearts have become like stone. They become hard-hearted. Hard-hearted toward God, because they're not listening to God. And hard-hearted toward each other as well. Stone hearts. When they return to the land, God says, when you return to the land, your uncleanness will be removed and you will be restored. Now that might sound strange, talking about land here. And oftentimes, as Dr. Walter Brueggemann states, land and Israel's relationship to it is often used as a metaphor for Israel's relationship with God. I think Brueggemann's correct in his assessment. In many instances, and especially here, the land represents the land of living with God. That place where we live with God. Not so much the physical land, though that is part of what's meant here. But that dwelling place that we have with God spiritually as well. That land to which we will be brought and cleansed and restored. It symbolizes the journey through life that we make, that journey to which God calls us and with which God promises to be with us if we will but follow His leading. It is a recognition that when we follow God's call to the land of right living, restoration and peace are not only possible, but God promises restoration and peace. But if we wander and refuse to follow that call to righteousness, then life will be lived as an exile. And no matter how hard we try, we will always be on that journey as exiles. Brueggemann notes that one problem with the way people often interpret much of the Bible is not, and I quote here, emancipation, the freedom to be me, but rootage. Not meaning, but belonging. Not separation, but coming together. What he's saying is we tend oftentimes to interpret the Bible as giving us that individual freedom while forgetting that we're on the journey with each other, as family, as children of God, and with God Himself. The writer in Ezekiel 36, verses 22 and following, declares that God is acting to gather His people from the nations, and for us that would be from the world's ways of doing things and interpreting life and seeing the rest of the world. He's gathering them and wants to settle them in their proper land, not a physical location for us, but the land of belonging with God. When this occurs, then God will cleanse our lives with the waters of purification, waters that only God can give. Not the physical waters with which we baptize or sprinkle, or the Jewish rites of purification took place as they were washed, but with those waters of God's blessing and God's cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness. And God will then continue the healing by giving that new heart. Not just angioplasty, not just putting in a stent, not just giving us a baby aspirin every day, which I have to take, as many of us do, but by giving us something much greater, a completely new heart, a new spirit. Most of the time we think of that new heart as something that happens in salvation, right? We think that when we make that initial choice, that's when we get the new heart, and that's it. And while that is the case for those who have not followed God before, it would be somewhat short-sighted, I think, to see it only in that way, in that manner. To be sure, that initial redemption is a part of it, and you can't continue with a new heart and a newness of life without that initial redemption and that initial decision. But what we tend to think of as being sanctified, not sanctimonious, but sanctified, growing in spiritual maturity is also an important understanding here. For this text speaks not just of salvation, but speaks of restoration and new hearts for those who have already followed God. When he's talking to Israel here, these are people who have already followed God and been children of God, but who have become separated and been wandering in life away from God in their living. Earlier in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, he speaks of the people having one heart given by God, thereby putting an end to disputes over the land and in other areas of life. But here, as God replaces hearts of stone, hearts that are hardened against God and each other, this heart transplant brings not only redemption and freshness in life, but it brings about obedience to God, and as it is reconfigured, unity with each other. The transformation of the heart, though, is not an end in itself, though its purposes do include individual and communal well-being. But it is to render service as well. Service to God and service to others. To make us fit for service. You know, we can't be fit to go out and do all kinds of exercise and walk and lift burdens after we have had any kind of heart procedure until we gain the strength and until we can do enough exercise to become fit once again. Sometimes that takes a long time. Sometimes it's an uncomfortable process. But then again, sometimes so is serving God. An uncomfortable process. It's not always singing nice, lilting tunes. Sometimes serving God and others is even da 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 da. Right? Sometimes it is hard and slow, and sometimes almost seems like drudgery, if we would be completely honest. But that's a part of living with God and with each other and becoming fit for service. It includes caring and sharing the journey and the lives of fellow pilgrims as we move along together. And the new heart, though, comes with a new or right spirit, as God says, a spirit which enables growth, enables a life of harmony and mercy. It's a restoration, a transplant that comes when we accept God's offer of continued cleansing and restoration, which enables us to become more worthy than we could ever be alone. Just as our heart needs regular exercise to function properly, So the new spiritual heart that God gives us must be exercised. And not just in study, though that is extremely important, but in prayer, in spiritual growth and depth, and exercised in service for others. If we truly mean, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, then we must accept not only God's transplant through Christ, but we must accept the daily exercise needed to grow that heart in strength, to grow that heart in mercy. Jesus experienced many things within His life. He experienced growth in many different ways. He experienced pain in many different ways. He experienced a journey each day, not just at the end of His life when He carried a crossbeam up a hill and was nailed to it after being beaten. There were times in His living that He said, "Why?" There were times in His living as a human that He said, "If there's any other way, this is so hard." But we also find that in His living as one of us, He exercised that connection with God and that trust and that daily walk, which gives us hope, which gives us courage, but even more so, which gives us a challenge, not just to accept the new heart, but to exercise the right spirit within us. And that is the hope that we all have, not only for ourselves, but that is the hope of the world. Christ in you, in your new heart, the hope of glory. May we pray. O Lord our God, we thank You. Thank You that You give us the promise of a new heart and a right spirit. Help us to not only accept the new heart, but to walk in the right spirit. We offer ourselves to You in that spirit, for the good of Your kingdom. Amen. Our hymn of decision is actually hymn number 393, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." As we sing 393, may we remember that this is not only a hope that God's breath will breathe upon us, but when we sing this, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," it is a request that God will make our hearts new and that right spirit will indeed dwell within us. Our altar is open for any decision that you would make, whether it's a first-time profession of faith of Christ as Lord and Savior, whether it is to become part of this fellowship from which to minister and in which to share, or whether it is a renewal of spirit. 393. And we'll sing all four verses, since it's a short hymn. "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."